question was last night?
In Happy Valley,
yeah.
Somebody's sharing a parcel of diamonds, and the guy goes, he notices his switch, they can take him to the board.
Start your main tourway in northwest London. Thursday, 22nd of Tammuz, 21st of July, Rabbi Sholem Siegel Shlita, The Broken Vov. This week's Torahway has been sponsored by Torahway attendees. Lynn Nishmas, one of our regulars, the late Mr. Norman Greenberg, Rav Nosson, Ben Rav Nosson, Zichron Lebrocha, who will be very much missed.
A rabbi once walked in to a secular school, I assume in Eretz Yisrael, and he was speaking to the boys there in one of the classes, and he threw a question at one of the boys. He said to the boy, he said, "Who broke the luchas?" So the boy said, "I didn't do it." Now the boy wasn't joking. This rabbi was rather upset at the ignorance, and he turns to the teacher and he said, "Did you hear that?" The teacher looks back at the rabbi and he says, "I know the boy, and I'm telling you, if he says he didn't do it, he didn't do it." He was absolutely flabbergasted. He couldn't believe it. He went to the, after giving this lesson, he went to the principal and he told the principal the story. And the principal said, "Look, I don't know who the boy is, but if something's been broken, we'll pay for it. Just tell us how much it is and who to make it payable to." It's a true story, Rabbi Isai. David Kaplan tells the story, but today we're not talking about broken luchas. We're talking about a broken vov in this week's parasha, and those stories could more or less be transposed onto this week's parasha, that of the broken vov. There was the person who took out a Sefer Torah, Parashas Pinchas, opens it up, sees the broken vov, says, "Oh, the Sefer Torah is possible, let's put it back." Takes out another Sefer Torah, opens it and says, "What's going on here? What about Sefer Torah? We've got the same pasul." At least that person twigged, he realized why the vovs were broken. That's as opposed to the guy who was laning during the week, Parashas Pinchas, and he thought he'd saved the tzibur, he'd found a mistake in the Sefer Torah, they gave him the ink and he fixed up, or what he thought fixed up, the broken vov in this week's parasha. But closer to home, I'll tell you that just last week, just after Mincha, somebody came over to me and said, "Can we just show you something in a Sefer Torah? We think there may be a pasul in the Sefer Torah we just used." They showed me the letter. I didn't even twig straight away what they wanted. Tucker, there was a broken letter. I looked, which word is this? And I sort of smiled. I didn't want to make the person feel stupid. So I said to him, no, it's supposed to be broken. It's a Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Samach Tes. The Gemara says in Daf Samach Tes in Kiddushin, it says that the Vov in this week's Sedra, Esperisi Shalom, is what we call a Vov Ketil. A broken Vov, a small Vov. We'll speak about that Be'ez Hashem in a second. But I said to him, "You should know it's interesting the way this vov has been done. I don't think in today's world that most sofrim, there was a relatively new Sefer Torah, I don't think most sofrim today do the vov as it has been done. Why? Because I took a piece of paper, covered up the lower half of the vov, and I said, "What do you have now?" "Avad, it's a yud." There's a big discussion as to how to go about making this vov, what we call vov ketir. You see, if you do it that way, meaning to say that you break it halfway up, then, like we said, halachically, the way we take on at least, as we'll see Be'ez Hashem in the course of this year, halachically, you've now just changed that vov into a yud. And instead of reading Esperisi Shalom, it reads Esperis Shalim, or something like that, Shalim. It's not a cricative. And because of this, there are at least six or seven different shittas how to go about making this vov ketir, ranging from those who say that it's what we would call a vov zeira. It's supposed to be just simply a small vov, like in Vayikra, you've got a small aleph. So to over here, it just means you make the dimensions, but ratio-wise it should be a vov, but everything becomes smaller. You use what a smaller calls. Others are not happy with that because they say it doesn't say a vov zeira, it says vov ketir. And they argue vov ketir means it's supposed to be broken. The Ritva actually says clearly that it should be broken. There is an Ur Torah. The Ur Torah says that it is, he's possibly the main makar, or at least for the Masorah, of making it broken such that it ends up looking like a yud. Rabbi Kiva Eger, however, in Teshuvos and Siman Ayin Hey, He is adamantly against it because he says it's not supposed to be a yud, and he brings rayas that vov ketiyah. Ketiyah, the Loshon ketiyah does not necessarily mean broken, it just means shorter, and therefore Rabbi Akiva Eiger is quite adamant. He says you've got a chashash, possibly even Baruch HaLevatada. He says when he himself had his Sefer Torah, when he would have his Sefer Torah written, this is the way he would tell the Sefer to do it, and that is to make the Vov slightly shorter, and in order to be Yotze the Shitta of the Ritzvah, so leave a little bit of a gap and then add a little bit of ink below it, and that I think is the way most Sofrim do it today, meaning to say that it's already before the break in the letter, you've already got a Shir Vov, albeit a slightly shorter Vov than the rest of the Vovs, and then you add a little bit below it. In fact, many do it on a the break is on a diagonal, so that because we pass and we say in shir lo ibi osios, it doesn't matter the thickness of the osios is doesn't matter, and therefore on the inside you will actually have a full, more or less full length vav. So I showed them that in this sefer Torah, however, the sefer for some reason either he was following the Oret Torah or he's stammering Amar Oret and doesn't know what he's doing, he'd broken it much higher up, where there was no doubt about it, it was a yud. So there was some these, yeah. So
who is the Oret Torah?
The Oret Torah is one of the classic ones you have, like the Mincha Shai.
Yeah.
So there's one thing. It's going back quite a bit, it's before Rabbi Akiva Eiger, you can see it.
Okay.
It's not, no, I, no not, not a, I don't think a Rish. It's going back, yeah. So.
How is it written in the Aleph Codex, the original early?
I don't know.
Why do you mean a gap?
Because the Ritzvah says Vov ketiyah means cut. So instead of making it short, which you do find that Oshin ketiyah can mean short, it means cut. So therefore he says make a Vov, a small break, and then add a little bit below it. But in this particular Sefer Torah, as I said, it'd been done much higher up. So somebody said to me, somebody standing around, he said, is it all right as it is? So I said, look, at the end of the day, there's different dais. He said, would you make a bracha on it? So I said, yes. And he looked at me like, but why? So I'm just going to try and explain today why that is. We're going to branch out a little bit and speak about a more general question. And that is, what happens if you find a suspected mistake in a Sefer Torah? Now, because obviously this is a very broad topic, we're going to limit it to a Shaida such as a Vov. I'm not talking about the Vov Ketiyah in this week, etc. I'm talking about a Vov anywhere, and you find there's a break in a Vov. How do you go about deciding what to do? Now, before we go any further, generally speaking, when letters are broken, you can get two sorts of shaylas. You can get one where it breaks into two perfect or more or less perfect letters, which is far more chomor. So, for example, if you've got a mem, is made up of basically a chaf and a vav, which are joined at the top. In ksav erish, it's a nun and a vav, but in ksav bisyus, if it's a chaf, more or less a chaf and a vav. So if that's broken in the top left-hand corner, and it becomes mamash a chaf and a vav, the whole join is completely removed, I'm just keeping it as simple as possible, it becomes a chaf and a vav, that is going to be far more chomor than, let's say, a vav which is broken in the middle, because it's true that it becomes a yud, but what's beneath it? Beneath it is nothing. Or if, let's say, you've got an aleph, if an aleph has a yud on the top, if that yud becomes disconnected, so it's true I've got a yud, but what's the rest of it? The rest of it isn't an ois. That is going to be more makel for the simple reason that when you look at it, you can see it must be an aleph. Why? Because I've got a yud here, what's the rest of it? Clearly, it's just an aleph which has been broken. That is more makel for our purposes. That's all we're going to just point out. There's a long bi'a alocha in Sif Chafei, Simon Ahmed Bey, Sif Chafei, where he talks about this, but it's for the purposes of this shiur, we're going to be talking about the second type. We're not talking about such as a mem or anything like that, but it's broken into two perfect letters. So let's say, but for our purposes, we'll talk about a vav. If you're leaning, or it could be you're checking a mezuzah, checking tefillin for that matter, and you come across a letter like that, a vav which is broken. It's broken into two parts. So what do you do? So from limited experience, what I've seen is, I'm talking about Bishas Kriyas HaTorah. I remember I was once laning somewhere, going back many, many, many years, and there was no Rav in this place, and there was a letter, I think, if I remember correctly, it was actually a Chaf. A Chaf, Kufufa, a Chaf, in the middle of a word, was broken into two. Literally on the sort of the right-hand side, broken into two parts. As you can well imagine, everyone has an opinion what to do now. I'd stopped just to look at it because I was trying to see if it was completely broken or not. I didn't know very much about Sepphoris at all at that time. And so the first reaction is people say, well, put the Sefer Torah away, take out another Sefer Torah, which very often is incorrect. Because number one, just because there's a break in a letter, it doesn't automatically mean it's posel, as we'll see. Number two is, even if the letter is posel, as we'll see, it doesn't necessarily mean that you put the Sefer Torah back once you've already taken it out. So the next reaction was, okay, Sheilas Tinuk, right? We all know. In fact, it's a Gemara. The Gemara says in Menachos, Daf Chav Tes, you got there a case in Tefillin, there was the word Vayaruk. Vayaruk Hashem, it says Vayaruk. And the Vov or Vayaruk was split. So the Gemara says, you ask a Tinuk, and you see what the Tinuk reads it as. If he reads it as Vayaruk, then you're fine. If the child can't read it as Vayaruk, then it's possible. So, there you go, it's a Mefurash Gemara. This is the main misconception I just want to dispel today. The use of Sheilas Tinuk, you have to be very, very careful before saying Sheilas Tinuk. You see, when you get a Shaila like that, the first thing to realize is, if somebody competent in the Halachos of Stam looks at it, and he says to you, look, I'm telling you it's a Yud, then I don't really care what a child reads it as. You can get 100 tinokas and they all read that as a vav, it's not going to help you. If it halakhically is clearly a yud, I don't care what a tinok reads it as. It's possible. That I think people realize. But what people don't realize is that all too often the following scenario plays itself out. And I'm going to talk about in a mezuzah where it's far more serious. A person may be checking his own mezuzah, he decides to have a look through himself, just see if there's any obvious problems there. And he finds, let's say, a vav which is broken. He goes along to his local Rav, who may be a Talmud Chacham but doesn't have any experience in the Halachos of Stam. He looks at it and he says, well, it's not a Yud, but I'm not sure. It is broken. So you know what? Sheilas Tinuk. Go ask a child. He goes along and asks the child. The child misreads it. The child, for whatever reason, reads it as a Yud, or at least can't read it as a Vav. It then makes its way, quite correctly, before putting it in Geniza. He goes and then asks somebody competent in Hilchas Stam. The person competent in Hilchas Stam looks at it and says, kosher. He says, kosher? He says, yeah. No Sheilas Tinuk? No Sheilas Tinuk. But we asked the Tinuk. What did the Tinuk say? He couldn't read it as a Vav. Well, you just shot yourself in the foot. The Mishnah Berurah Paskens with the Knesset HaGadol, he brings it a number of times. The Knesset HaGadol says that even if something is kosher, if you show it to a child and the child, let's say, misreads it, or at least can't read it correctly, you've got a problem. Sometimes we can circumvent the problem, other times not. So I'll speak about that in a second. But very often you've just taken a perfectly good mezuzah and you're going to very possibly end up having to put that in Geniza. It could be even worse if it's Parashiyos of Tefillin. So before asking a tinuk, the first thing to do is go consult with somebody competent in the Hilchas Stam, and he can tell you, is there a Shaila? Just to show you how subtle the differences can be, most people would assume with a Vav, there's three possibilities. You could either look at this Vav and say, well, it's broken high up, it's a Yud, possible. Second possibility is, it's broken right towards the bottom, it's a Vav, it's kosher. And then there's the grey area where it's broken somewhere in between, and we're not quite sure, Sheilas Tinuk. Rabbi Yashiv held, there are actually four possibilities. You can have something which is broken higher up, and it's a yud, it's possible. You can have something broken right towards the bottom, and it's clearly a vav, it's kosher. You can have a third possibility, something which is not a yud, clearly not a yud, and it's clearly not a vav either. It's not a Sheilas Tinuk. Just because it's not a yud, doesn't mean by default it's a vav. Just because it's not a vav, doesn't mean it's a yud. A yud is supposed to be one kul, the leg is ideally supposed to be one, what we call one kulmus. A vav is supposed to be at least two kolmasin. So if it's somewhere between one and two kolmasin, sometimes it will be a Sheilas Tinuk. Sometimes it will be not a yud, not a vav. So you can see how subtle it can be, how sort of on the border it can be Sheilas Tinuk or not a Sheilas Tinuk. So the first thing to do is show it to somebody competent. He may say to you it's possible. He may say to you it's kosher. He may then say to you, you know what, it's a Sheilas Tinuk. If he says to you it's a Sheilas Tinuk, then we can move on to the Sheilas Tinuk. Now what do we do in the case of a Sheilas Tinuk? So the first thing is to make sure we get the right Tinuk. The Tinuk, the Gemara says, has to be lo chacham v'lo tipish. You don't want him to be too clever that, especially in, let's say, a mezuzah, he's been saying Shema long enough to know the parashiyos of Shema and Vahoyim Shemaya. So he'll look at the Shaila and he'll work out what the letter's supposed to be. That's a chacham. You don't want such a child. You also don't want a tipesh, a child who's barely learned his aleph base and won't be able to. Obviously, he's going to get it wrong because he doesn't have any experience yet. Just to point out, by the way, some letters, sometimes you can't ask a she'ilas tinuk. The classic case is a ches. A ches in Ksav Beis Yosef is made up of two zions, joined by what we call a chato teres, like a hump in the middle. If you show that to a child, if you haven't seen a Sefer Torah before, he won't know what to make of it. He'll say it's two zions joined by a squiggly line in the middle. So if you have a shayla on a ches which is broken, he's going to say it's a zion. He's never seen a ches in his life. So such a letter, very often you can't ask a she'ilas tinuk. So we're looking for a child who's lechacham v'letipesh. Now I'll tell you, I said before, sometimes you have a situation where the person went ahead, asked a she'ilas tinuk, the tinuk misread it, it then goes to a posik in stam, and he says it's kosher. Oh, but we asked a tinuk. So I said to you before, well, you've just shot yourself in the foot. Something with very broad shoulders can overrule the child. Now, the Chidor says, anyway, you can overrule the child. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't go with that. He goes with the Knesset HaGedolah, who says, no, if the child misread it, you've got a problem. However, I don't know about many times, but in a number of instances, when Rav Mordechai Friedland, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, one of the foremost poskim in Stam, it was Nifta a few years ago, when he was shown a shayla like this, he looks at it and he says, kosher. They said, well, we asked a tinuk. And what did the tinuk misread it? So he said, okay, the tinuk was a tippish. Yeah. I mean, he meant that half joking, but half seriously as well. He overruled the child. You can't overrule the child just because I'm telling you it's kosher. He can overrule the child because he's so confident of his pesach that he says, if the child misread that, it's impossible he could have misread it. It must be he's a tippish. You've got to have very broad shoulders to do that. Because sometimes your psak is, I'm telling you, it's kosher. But if the child misread it, we can see where the child's coming from. You can't just say he's a tipesh just because you are confident that it's kosher. That is one. Sometimes what they will then do is they will then ask another tinuk. Again, you can't always just ask another tinuk. So you've got to get the right child, a child who's like chacham but a tipesh. Not too clever, but also not a tipesh. What age is that? It can vary depending on, obviously, the child, depending on the country. Some places they start learning to read at a younger age. So it's very difficult to give an absolute age. You have to judge by the children or the child that you are planning to ask. Because if he's a chacham, the problem is he's going to make cheshbonos. If you show him the word, I don't know, you take a word, v'ohavta, and you've got a shayla on the vav there, he's going to look at it. He knows there's no such word as y'ohavta. He knows it's a vav. Right? So it's got to be a child who's not going to start making his own cheshbonos. The next thing you want to do is when you show the child the shayla, you want to get him used to what we call the signon of the ksav. That means to say, don't direct him straight to the shayla straight away, because you've got to make sure he's used to the style of the ksav. So you take him on a slight tour of the ksav, show him some letters, show him some yud, show him some vav, some alef, some heys. Just generally see that he's comfortable with the style of the ksav. And then eventually, if you can see he's got the hang of it, you'll zoom in on that particular shayla without making it too obvious which is going to be your shayla. Once you can see the child's got the hang of it, then do you have to cover up what you're going to show him? So the Mechaber says you don't have to cover up anything. The Mishnah Berurah says, nonetheless, in accordance with the Magen Avraham, that we cover up to the words where the shayla is. Not the letters before. So if, let's say, you've got a shayla on a word, I don't know, ma'odecha, and you've got a shayla on the dalet, you don't have to cover up the mem, you don't have to cover up the aleph. This is general rules. Obviously, there are exceptions. Sometimes we will have to cover up, sometimes we won't. But generally speaking, you cover up the words before ma'idecho. You do not have to cover up anything in the words ma'idecho and nothing afterwards. As I said, these are general rules. Now, in this particular case, however, with the vav, it's obviously different. Because over here, what we want to know is, does it have a shiur yud or vav up to the point of the break? So it's no good if you leave it as is, because a child's going to look at it, he'll see the two parts, and he's going to put the two parts together. So you have to cover up the lower part and show the child the letter. So again, once you made sure the child's got the hang of it, what a yud, what a vav looks like, You then have that part, the lower part, covered up. You show the shayla to the child. And if the child can read it as a vav, which is what you want, then it's fine. If the child cannot read it as a vav, even if he doesn't read it as a yud, but he can't read it as a vav, then it is posel as is. Okay? Now, does that mean, just because it is posel as is, that you would have to take out another Sefer Torah? And the answer is, according to probably most poskim today, the answer is no. And that's based on a Chazon Ish. But just to appreciate why that is, let's just take one step back. There is a Me'iri. The Me'iri learns a different pshat in the Gemara in Menachos. He says, in the case of Vayaharuk, when the Vav was broken, he says, we're not going to ask a child, cover up the bottom part and ask the child, is it a Yud or a Vav? I mean, that's what you're looking for in the top part. What we are actually looking to see is whether the child puts the two parts together. In other words, you don't cover up anything. We want to know, the fact that the letter is broken, does that mean it's no longer a Vav? That's the Shaila. So the Me'iri therefore says, if the child reads as a Vav, then even though it's broken, it's still kosher. And many, many, many Acharonim, and in fact, perhaps most noticeably, the Tur seems to paskin with this Me'iri. We don't paskin with this Me'iri. We will not say that the Vav is kosher. However, we're going to use it, as we'll see in a second. So the Me'iri holds that as long as a child can put the two parts together and confidently tell you it's a Vav, then it is a kosher Vav. And according to the Me'iri, strictly speaking, you don't have to do anything to it. The Bir Alocha says we don't paskin like that. However, similar to the Me'iri, not quite the same, but he's willing to go with something very similar to Prima Godim that says the following. Let me just be mucked in. When you've got what we call a chaf peshutta, that means what we'd call, many people call it an ender chaf. Right, an ender chaf. So the top right-hand corner, again, the way we paskin, is it's supposed to be rounded. The Prima Godim holds that if it is, comes to a point, it comes to a corner, it's possible. But says the Prima Godin, it may be possible, but it's still a chaf. What you call a chaf, which is possible. And the nafkamina being that if this happens in a mezuzah or tefillin, you come across a chaf, which is got a point to it, although it's possible, you can't put on those tefillin with a bracha, but you can fix it up. There's no problem of shalok sidra. We know in tefillin and mezuzah, they have to be written in the correct order. He says, as long as the letter is there, it may be a possible letter, but it's a chaf, you can fix it up. In a similar sense, the Mishnah Berurah says, the Bi'al Ocho says, with the case, let's say this Vav. If the Vav is broken, and a child will clearly put the two parts together, although we don't pass in the Me'iri that it's a kosher Vav, but we do hold that it's a Vav. Albeit a Vav which is possible, and therefore you can fix it up. And this, by the way, is one of the main reasons we have mezuzahs checked twice in 7 years. People say, why can't I check it myself? Strictly speaking, the Chasam Sofer says, as long as it was properly checked the first time, you can check them yourself. But the point is like this, when you hand in a mezuzah to be checked, a competent magia is also looking at the future, the longevity of this mezuzah. He may see there are beginning, there's cracks or fading in the middle of a letter. And he can see if you leave it another 3.5 years, by that time the break will be much bigger and we won't be able to do anything about it. Right now, it's a very, very slight crack in the letter, such that it's clearly, although it may or may not be problematic as is, but we can still fix it up. And therefore preserve the longevity of this mezuzah. So that's the Bi'al Ocha. The Bi'al Ocha says again, if you've got a broken letter like that, such as let's say this Vav, although we don't pass out the Me'iri that if a child puts the two parts together, it's kosher, it's not. But we will say it's a posel Vav. It's not a Yud. It's a Vav which is possible, and therefore you can fix it up. There's no problem shalok sidra. Now, when it comes to a Sefer Torah, it's not going to help me. If it's possible, a possible Sefer Torah, we don't want a possible Sefer Torah. Says the Chazon Ish. However, we can use the Me'iri himself together with the Tziruf of the Rambam. There's a famous Rambam where the Rambam says that you can make a bracha on a possible Sefer Torah. Now, although we don't generally rely on the Rambam on his own, there's a question whether the Rambam was chosen anyway, but the Maaseh, we use the Rambam very often as a tziruf, if we've already taken out the Sefer Torah, together with something else, we'll put the two things together and we will say, do not put the Sefer Torah back. And therefore the Chazon Ish, paskens la'alocha, based on the fact that there are many, many, many acharonim, we're talking about a long list of acharonim, who hold, not everyone agrees with this Chazon Ish, but based on the fact there are many acharonim who hold that, like this Me'iri, that if a tinner can put the two parts together, it remains a kosher letter, although we would not take the Sefer Torah out in the first instance, assuming you've got at least another Sefer Torah. But once we've already taken out the Sefer Torah, so therefore, since the Kotzen can put the two parts together, it is a kosher vol, together with the Rambam who says, anyway, you can make a bracha on a possible Sefer Torah, and therefore the Chazon Ish says, in that case, you do not put the Sefer Torah back, you continue using it and put it back afterwards and don't use it for Shabbos Mincha, because you get it fixed after Shabbos. But again, in such a case where you've got a letter which is broken, if you were to show it to Tinnik, I don't even have to show it to Tinnik. I can see with my own eyes, it's a yud. Up to the break, it's a yud. We don't pass Kalad Meiri. However, since a Tinnik will put the two parts together, and therefore the Tinnik would say it's a vav, therefore we can rely on the Meiri who says that's a kosher vav, together with the Rambam, and we will continue using the Sefer Torah, and you can make a brach on it. So based on that, seems we're home and dry. In this Sefer Torah, there's no problem. It was broken, as Barisi Shalom, it was broken higher up, but look, in the worst case scenario, I've got the Meiri and the Rambam, correct? The answer is incorrect. No. Could be correct, but highly unlikely.
It was never connected.
Oh, very good, yeah. Very good. There is a Gedulei Hekdesh who says, even if it was never connected, it's still fine. The Meiri meant that. But Lamaise Kimat, everyone disagrees, and the way we paskin is not like that. Okay. Right? That it's got to be a Ksiva Tamo. It's got to be, at least, originally it was connected. So Rabbi Kivi Eger writes in his Teshuvah, in defense of the Ur Torah, it could be that we're talking about that the Vav is written whole to start with and then was broken and we're relying on the Meiri. Rabbi Kivi himself is not happy with it because he says we don't pass like the Meiri. But for us, if that's what the Sefer did, we'd be fine. However, once the Sefer Torah has been taken out, even if the Sefer didn't do that, which I would be probably, I'm assuming he probably didn't do that, because the very fact that he's done it higher up, which is not the way most people do it today, already raises a red flag. But even so, Lemaisa, there is a Masorah for such a thing. There is an Ur Torah, together with a Rambam, and there is always the possibility that he did know what he was doing, and that he did make it whole. He knew about this Rabbi Kivi Eger and this Meiri, and he then broke it. You may be able to see whether he has or not. But all of that together, once the Sefer Torah has been taken out, Avada, we would make a brach on it. Again, whether it should be changed later on is a separate question. But that's in terms of the halacha of this Vav. Let me just conclude with one question, and that is, why is the Vav, why is it broken? The Mefarshim will shtel on it, what's Peshat in this Vav Ketiyah, the Gemara and Kedushin already makes a drash on it. But perhaps we could suggest the following, with this we'll just conclude. We know that Pinchas came and he killed Cosby and Zimri. And there was an absolute uproar in Klal Yisrael, murder, he was accused of murder, and you know, who do you think you are? The Vav, the letter Vav is what we call a Vav HaChibur. A and B, Vav connects. In the Mishkan we have the Vav in which were the hooks. Pinchas had been accused of making a breakdown in society. A breakdown, it was murder. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, write Esperisi Shalom, the Vav will be broken. Because that's what they're accusing him of. But the truth is, like the maid in the Plaza Hotel back when Rav Moshe Feinstein went to Eretz Yisrael and he met with, I think, Rav Shlomo Karevitz there, and they were having a very heated discussion. A maid went up to tell him, I think, the Chabina Rav and others were waiting to see Rav Moshe. She comes back down to the security guard, pale-faced, and she says, you've got to do something, and there's going to be a murder there. They're screaming at each other. She didn't understand that when it comes to Torah, what the Gemara says, es vohi basufa, what seems like an absolute end of the world of Achlokas, you'll see in the end, it will end with Av of Achav v'Shalom v'Reis. Other Av, it's Marvim Shalom v'Olam. What seems to people as a Vav which have been broken, Esperisi Shalom. In the end, you'll see Esvohei Pesufa, you'll see in the end that it will bring to a sense of Shalom. The Mishnah says at the end of Idios that it's discussing what's going to happen when Eliyahu HaNovi comes. And the last opinion there, the Chachomim say, Hine Anichi Shaleach Lochem is Eliyahu HaNovi, ... The last opinion there says he's not going to come to pasul or to be machshir anyone. Talking about Yuchsin over there. What he's going to come to do is to bring shalom la'olam. The vav of Eliyahu is taken away because Yaakov Avinu, the middle of Achdus, the one who took the 12 stones, they all united as one with their differences, but they can unite as one. He said to Eliyahu HaNovi, you're the one who understands that you can bring, even when there seems to be machlokes, Esvohei Basufa. I'm taking the Vav of your name as collateral. You know the letter in the Hebrew alphabet, which represents the masculine, the Zohar, the father, is the letter Vav. Lo means to him. Shulchan no means his table. We say Barok Kari de Abur, that the child is the foot of the father. The letter Vav in the word Shalom is broken into, as I said, at least according to the way Rabbi Kiviega holds, it's a Vav with the child beneath it. In the future, the Heshiv Leib Avos Albonim, the Leibonim Al Avosa. In the future, the leg of the Vav and the father, the two of them, will see with the two will be put back together. The idea is that we'll see in the future what people thought was an act of murder. They thought it was an act of machlokes, a rift, division. We'll see in the future that adarabba, esvohei pasufa, that the act of Pinchas brought to a sense of shalom and yisrael avim shabbat shemayim. Be'ezrat Hashem, we should be zeicha to that day. Bekara be'amen.
Go ahead.